Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, President Obama is out campaigning for Hillary Clinton, and yesterday in North Carolina, he said, quote, "the fate of the world," end quote, "is at risk." And he is really worried about Donald Trump becoming the next president. And so he wants the American people to put our confidence in Hillary Clinton to be the next president of the United States. So, not surprisingly, a Democrat president is supporting the Democrat nominee. But the fate of the world is how he put it. I was talking to somebody last night, Ed Battagliano here with me, and they said, "Well, he's right about that." just they were coming at it from a different perspective.
You know what's interesting, Tim, about that is, and we saw this at the end of, I think it was the third debate. There really is a world's difference, a world's worth of difference in the worldview of the secular progressives and conservatives and Christian, those who believe in the Judeo-Christian worldview. There really is a world of difference. From President Obama's perspective, yeah, the fate of the world is at risk as we see it. And that would include, judges and Supreme Court justices with regards to the quote-unquote right of a woman to kill her baby. I mean, if you uphold that right as being of supreme value, then anybody who says, "I'm appointing pro-life justices," it would make it seem like your world is at risk. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure that President Obama is more, he's trying to convince voters that Donald Trump is going to, launch nukes at anybody who looks at him sideways.
That's not true.
Of course it's not true.
They
said that about Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
He's a hawk.
Well, I just say, the knock on Trump has been his temperament, and that's what Hillary Clinton uses against him. And if you've seen some of her unhinged moments the last couple of weeks, you go, "I'm not so sure you got the right temperament either."
Right.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we'll be talking more about that. But the race is tightening, according to most polls. Yesterday, Real Clear Politics said Pennsylvania and Virginia are now toss-ups. That was not supposed to be so for the Clinton campaign. They were supposed to clean up, and they may yet win Pennsylvania, Virginia. I'm just telling you as of today what it says, and that's making Democrats nervous because they're supposed to win those two states handily. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, tell us what we got on our Facebook page of Today's Issues, and then I want to go to Steve Jordahl here.
Well, first off, and most importantly, we are live on Facebook, so if you want to watch the show and listen at the same time, you can go to Facebook, Today's Issues on Facebook.
Okay.
Also, we have the Denton Bible sermon from Pastor, what's his name?
Tommy Nelson.
Tommy Nelson. We have that sermon up on the Facebook page, so you can listen to it.
This is a must-watch for every American Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it last night, and it was a message to the American Christian that everyone needs to listen to.
Yeah.
So we got that on our.
Yeah, and we also have a lot of the top headlines that we've mentioned.
And this afternoon, so that's at our Today's Issues Facebook page. And this afternoon on American Family Radio 305, we're going to be playing this message on our whole network. Pastor Tommy Nelson gave to his church.
And that's unusual, and that demonstrates how good it is.
Right. I watched it last night, came in this morning, said, "We got to play this today. It can't wait."
Mm-hmm.
And so I called the church there in Denton, Texas, and they said, "Play it." So we are. Steve Jordahl from OneNewsNow.com is in studio. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim, and everybody.
What do you got, Steve?
Well, let me add a headline for Walker you could put up on the website. This is something that everybody is, if they haven't already, is going to be feeling very soon, and it's the pinch from Obamacare, the latest figures that are out. Now, it's one of the reasons that the polls are closing, by the way, but we're starting to see numbers. We had that vague number of about 20% increase. Here's an article that says that after subsidies, many young singles will pay at least $2,484 a year in Obamacare premiums. That's if an annual salary of $30,000 a year, you're going to owe almost $2,500 of that in healthcare premiums. We got a picture of some young, I think it was a young lady that posted a letter she got from her insurance carrier that said that her premium, her 2016 monthly premiums were $789 a month, which is pretty expensive. Next year, she'll be paying $1,112 a month.
Wow.
In healthcare premiums.
Well, I tell you what is underreported on that. A lot of people are qualifying for subsidies on these increases for Obamacare. Now, what that means is the federal, they're either going to have, I think they get subsidies by way of paying less taxes or something like that, Steve.
The number that I gave you with the young people, 2,484, that is taking the subsidies into account. That's after the tax break.
After?
Yeah.
After the subsidies?
After receiving tax credits from the federal government. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, which is certainly not a right-leaning thing, they're going to pay, somebody that makes $30,000 or more a year will pay almost $2,500 a year after the tax break.
Well, the young lady who posted the letter, I just went to my phone and calculated, that's over $13,000 a year.
Now, she's probably making more than $30,000 a year in whatever salary she's making. But and this is floating down. This isn't now, it's no longer just those that are going to the exchanges. We are getting word that this is now going to be starting to trickle down to maybe your employer's health care plan that might also be.
Even if it's not involved with Obamacare?
Well, no, because health insurance is going up, and companies are not going to get a special rate. They're not exempt from the rates.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So everybody is going to be paying more money.
Obamacare law, the so-called Affordable Health Care Act, don't you love how legislation is named?
Yeah. Right.
The Affordable
Talk about spin.
The Affordable Health Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, was passed by the Democrats alone. This has been considered President Obama's signature legislation.
I'm not so sure he's going to want to claim it after a little bit.
And the Democrats passed this without any Republicans, and they ramrodded it, quite frankly, through the Congress with special rules. And they told the American people, trust us, you're going to like this. And almost everything that President Obama said would happen as a result of Obamacare has not happened.
And there are many people who say he knew at the time it wasn't
going to
happen.
Well, here's the sinister, and some would say obvious, pick your word on this, conspiracy theory. You ready for this, Ed?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
And that is that President Obama and Hillary Clinton and the liberal Democrats, they wanted a single-payer, Canadian-style, mm-hmm. European-style government healthcare-run system all along.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you get to that is you have Obamacare fail, and then it gets so expensive, people throw up their hands and say, I'm willing to give up my choices on healthcare and doctors if you'll just pay for my healthcare insurance. And so, again, there are some people that believe, Steve, that President Obama and Hillary Clinton, they don't care if Obamacare fails, even though it makes them look bad in a certain respect, because it will lead to socialized medicine outright.
And you remember some of the authors of the law. Jonathan Gruber comes to mind talking about having to pass this. It's so complicated that the, quote, stupid American people aren't going to figure it out. There were plenty of people.
That was a quote.
That was. There were plenty of people when this thing was drafted that said, wait a minute, the math does not add up. And just logically, if you think, if you're going to say, A, that you cannot deny someone for a pre-existing condition, and B, that that you have to sign up, and that you don't have to that there's no reason that someone, a young person especially, is going to sign up until they have that particular, if you can't deny coverage, there's no reason for them to sign up until they have some debilitating disease or something that's very expensive. And so that's why you didn't have anybody sign up as a young person. That's why the things are going crazy. That's why, Ed, the Obamacare is out of control.
Well, and this is, as we mentioned, this is, I think, one of the things driving Trump's bump back up into the polls into a more competitive stature is that people, and you know, what's interesting is there was some talk about the Obama administration wanting this jump in premiums to be pushed until after the election so it wouldn't affect the election.
Right.
Because so many people demanded that it be released on time, these figures. Now it is coming into play in the election.
Remember, Ed and Tim, that this was passed in 2008, and they purposely front-loaded it with a whole bunch of good things, right, like making your children be allowed to be covered until they're 25 and a whole bunch of other things. They purposefully put off a whole bunch of negative consequences until after the 2010 elections. That's when you started to see the mandate. They didn't kick in for 2 years until the election was over, when people had to start signing up and the penalties started occurring. They hid all of those negative effects until after the election. It was very political at the time.
Well, the premiums are skyrocketing across the country for Obamacare, and we'll see what effect that has on the presidential election, because Hillary Clinton is defending Obamacare, saying it needs to be reformed somewhat, and Donald Trump is saying, nope, we need to pull it up by the roots and start over. Mm-hmm. This is so.
It better happen soon, because it is getting so entwined in federal regulations and such that at some point, and very soon, if not already, it's going to be impossible to undo. And that's why.
It's going to collapse on its own, though. Yeah. According to.
Well, that's why you pass whatever it was, 2,000 pages of.
Well, if they want to repeal and replace.
Right.
Well, now, Nancy Pelosi, you remember her famous quote, we need to pass Obamacare. I'm not quoting, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm basically quoting, to find out what's in it.
Need to pass it to find out what's in it.
Right. Pass it so we can see what's in it. That's an exact quote, and I'm not so sure she'd be that proud of it right now.
Nancy Pelosi? Yeah, well, you're probably right, but she's
not with raising premiums.
Yeah.
Well, they certainly don't want to own that. They don't want to own that. Well, and they find
but
some
if you're
way
the Republican, if you're the Republicans,
hang it around their
if
neck.
If you're the Republicans, I just say, hey, you passed it, you fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're not in charge.
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's the wrong.
Maybe you should have. Maybe you should have asked us to come along to help write this legislation.
Right.
Then.
Right. Now you want us to fix.
Now you want us to fix it, and if we don't, you're going to blame us.
Right. All right. Hey, listen. I wanted to invite on our program now. Again, thank you, Steve Jordahl.
Good to be with you.
Safe travels back across the street to your cubby.
I'm taking a meal with me just in case.
Okay. Your
cubicle.
Cubicle.
Cubby.
Cubby. What is a cubby? What's the difference between a cubby and a
cubicle?
I've heard of cubby
however,
hole.
The Cubs won the World Series last night.
No, I think
what you're mentioning. Okay.
Completely different. Anyway, we need to move on because get lost in that. We want to welcome to our program our guest, Kelly Kohlberg. Kelly is author of Finding God at Harvard, and she's the director of the American Association for Evangelicals. How you doing, Kelly?
Great, Tim. Great to be on your show. Thanks.
Hey, is it director of American Association for Evangelicals or of Evangelicals?
Of. And it's at AmericanEvangelicals with an S .com. It's a brand new group, just starting.
And I was pleased to join a letter that you put together and had a lot of Christian leaders from out of the country sign. Tell us about that.
Yes, thanks for signing it. Essentially, you know, as all of your listeners know, there are millions of Americans know that there's something deeply wrong in the country when we look at the breakdown of faith, of family, of the media, of schools, of the economy. But it can be hard for people to sort of put their finger on exactly why this is happening and, you know, is this decline inevitable? And a lot of us are saying no, that we're being outmaneuvered. And we wrote a letter to explain with embedded links, the money trail from a very wicked man named George Soros and his circle of friends who are globalists, who actually profit from the decline of cultures. It raises their relative power in the world, apparently. So we documented this with the recent hacking of his Open Society Foundation and other foundations, as well as IRS documentations. We put up a letter. Thousands of people signed it at AmericanEvangelicals.com. We invite your listeners to sign it. And then yesterday we put up a 15-minute video that is honestly the single best tool to put the pieces together, what's happening to the country and how we could overcome it.
Where do we watch that?
AmericanEvangelicals.com.
With an S?
American, with an S. AmericanEvangelicals.com.
Kelly, what's
the video?
Okay, what?
And then,
go ahead.
Yeah. So you'll see the video, and it's endorsed by Eric Metaxas and Wayne Grudem and Jim Garlow and mm-hmm. on and on. And it puts the pieces of the puzzle together in a way that's both sobering and empowering, how they've undermined the economy, the government, the schools, the family, and that there's actually campaigns and thousands of activists that are paid to do this. You just can't make it up.
You know, what's going on in our country is on a fundamental level, and only people who are Christians can really appreciate this, I think, is there's spiritual warfare.
Yep.
It's spiritual warfare. Now, it plays itself out in the political arena, but it's spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly, here, I think, Ed, you might want to comment on this too, but and when you start talking like this, you know, people who aren't Christians, who don't understand the Bible, they get spooked. You know, they think we're talking about ghosts and Santa Claus,
right,
and
right,
they think
right.
the aliens and things like that. But right. but if you read the Bible, you have God versus Satan, good versus evil, and what you have here in America, you have a country that has promoted the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth more than any other nation in the history of the world.
Yep.
We have a deep, rich Christian heritage. There's a reason why churches were planted all over America, and it's the most Christian nation in world history, the U.S. Well, if you're Satan, Ed, you want to bring that country down.
Right.
Because that country, and I'm speaking broadly, I understand that, but the American Christian Church, you want to bring that down, and you want to start persecuting Christians in the U.S. You want to start shutting down their message. You want to start harassing them. Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and if America is a city on a shining city on a hill, Ronald Reagan said that. He also was quoting earlier Puritans from our nation early in our nation's history. And there can be no doubt that that people around the world look to America as a beacon of freedom and hope and a way to have a prosperous life. If the world is looking at that, you want to bring that down. And if you hate capitalism, if you hate nationalism, if you hate all sorts of things that are, you know,
Christianity,
you want to bring those things down. And Kelly, let me ask you this. One of the things that I'm disturbed about, and by the way, folks, we're talking with Kelly Kohlberg, who's author of Finding God at Harvard, and she's director of the American Association of Evangelicals. Kelly, I was very disturbed to read an article that indicated that Jim Wallis of Sojourners, now that's on the evangelical left of the spectrum, I understand that, but that they had taken money from George Soros? Is that accurate? I think there was World Magazine that wrote this, and how many evangelicals on the left are taking Soros money? This is a deal with the devil.
Yes, that's what got me out of Just Christian Apologetics, which I started something called the Veritas Forum in universities and into the larger culture, not politics per se, but every single pillar of culture is being undermined, to your point. And probably the most animating thing for me is to have realized a few years back, based on my husband's novel called Breaking Babel, where an atheist billionaire was funding a false Christian front to divide the vote. And I thought it was far-fetched, and then we started doing research with others and realized George Soros, the man who's destroyed other currencies and cultures for years, he's a felon in France, kicked out of, he broke the Bank of England, now he's here. He's the chairman of Ready for Hillary PAC, which should tell us something, and that he was funding Sojourners, Jim Wallis, and Richard Cizik when he was the head of the National Association of Evangelicals, or shortly after, because Cizik went to work for Soros. He was picking off so-called leaders in who were, you know, responding to this, and that it's a communist tactic to use what they call surprising validators. And in our video at American Evangelicals, we show this very careful analysis of this, the 15-minute video, where one of the Soros-related foundations, the New America Foundation, talks about renting evangelical mascots for their and renting generals for national security, renting Catholic, or you know, essentially renting Catholics. It's a wolf in the sheep's pen strategy, and they use it for open borders, for euthanasia coming next, for climate change that cap and trade legislation, for amnesty. So they, through the National Immigration Forum, funded the Evangelical Immigration Table while the Schumer-Rubio bill was in the Senate and House. These are political projects. I was pulled into it in the 90s without knowing on creation care. I loved to hike and camp, and Finding God at Harvard had come out, and suddenly I was invited to write policy papers on global warming. I said, I don't know anything about that. Yeah. They said it doesn't matter.
Kelly, we got 1 minute left here.
Yeah.
This video, we just linked that to our Facebook page as well, Today's Issues Facebook page, the 15-minute video that you guys created at AmericanEvangelicals.com. Our guest is Kelly Kohlberg. One more question, if you can answer this. What is the motivation of George Soros with the U.S.? Why is he so far left? What does he hope happens to the U.S.?
He weakens every aspect of our culture, just like communism does. They go after to weaken Christianity.
What motivates him, though? Here's a 70-year-old plus billionaire. Why didn't he just own his yacht in the Caribbean?
Billionaires like access to trillions of dollars, so they put presidents in the White House, and it raises their global power.
I would like to know.
It's about global power.
He's a globalist.
Yes, and he works with Rockefeller and Ford and a bunch of others.
And Hillary Clinton's a globalist.
Yes.
Okay.
She is George Soros.
That's why he supports her.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Go to AmericanEvangelicals.com. Please watch the video. It's awesome.
Watch the video and pass it on. Walker, you got everything up there on Facebook?
Yeah, we've covered a lot today. If you want to read any of it or watch any of it, go to Facebook and type in Today's Issues.
Ed, thank you.
My pleasure.
See you next time, folks.